This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Hour number three of our radio program. It is the Zach Gelb Show on a Friday, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. And we're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. These are challenging times, and Rocket Mortgage is prepared to help. If you need mortgage assistance, contact their team 24/7 at rocketmortgage.com. From their home to yours, the team at Rocket Mortgage is with you. We'll chat some Dallas Cowboys, some Dak Prescott, and Jamal Adams right now with one of my favorite follows on Twitter, at Fish Sports. He is the Cowboys insider, also a Dallas Mavericks insider for 105.3 The Fan in Dallas, and that is Mike Fisher, kind enough to join us back on the Zach Gelb Show. Mike, how are you and your family doing? Thanks for the time. How are you?
Well, thank you for having me. Yeah, the Dallas Cowboys and the transaction wire, or at least the maybe transaction wire, it's the gift that keeps on giving if you do what you do or I do for a living, huh?
Yeah, it is, but like you so perfectly said in your video today, a lot of the information that we got this week is not new information. I feel for the last month and a half, I've been talking about for the Dak Prescott contract, it's either going to be a 4 or 5 year deal, and it's going to either be $34 or $35 million a year in that contract. When Dak Prescott gets offered $175 million over 5 years, and you did the math for us, 35 times 5 is 175. My question isn't, how did we get to that number? My question then is, why did Dak Prescott turn that down? Because that makes a lot of sense to me.
Well, and I appreciate that you recognize my frustration. And, of course, at 105.3 The Fan in Dallas and then CowboysSI.com, where I work for Sports Illustrated here, we did indeed 6 weeks ago break the story of the Cowboys offering 5 years and $35 million APY. And that story is correct. Those numbers are correct. What I did not ever think to do was then the next day write another story saying, guess what? It adds up to 175, which is what people did this week. And I'm like, well, yeah, I know. I know that, Sherlock. And then I did not think to do a third report saying, and he turned it down, because I thought it was self-evident that since he didn't accept it, he must have turned it down. And in answer to your specific question, why should he sign it today?
Why should he? Yeah, it's a fair point.
Yeah, what's to be gained for him, especially with no physical OTAs going on? So he's not hurting the team. You know, he is a centerpiece in the locker room. He's a franchise person in every way. He's going to be on the cover of magazines and media guides and billboards for the rest of his career in Dallas, almost certainly. And so I don't think he wants to be detrimental to the building, but they're not even in the building right now. So there's just no motivation for the player to do this today. The motivation comes, am I missing games? Or am I missing practices? Am I missing meetings? And then how soon does July 15th get here, where I really have to find myself, and the team does too, a deadline?
But what I'll just say to that is I think that is a more than fair offer. I get what you're saying. Hey, he doesn't have to sign it today, and probably Jerry is still going to get this deal done by July 15th. Why though, from the 4 to 5 year deal, and you get $175 million, and you hear that 110 of it is guaranteed, is a reason why he doesn't want to do the 5 years? And I get he wants to get that second contract a little bit quicker with how the cap goes up. But is the guaranteed money at all like a point of contention right now when they look at the 5-year deal and he's trying to just get more on that guaranteed money? Because you have to think the $35 million a year, that's not going to go up, right?
The biggest issue is the 4 versus 5 years. And, you know, whether it's 34 or 36 or 37 or 35, you've nailed the reason. And again, I have some frustration because we've reported this literally. I mean, I'm not kidding. Between Twitter and the rest, we must have said it 10,000 times. The NFL TV contract expires after the 2022 season.
Yeah.
So if you are young and have star quality, you want to be a free agent again as soon as possible after 2022, because the salary cap is quite likely to explode upward. And so we can project it to be $250 million in 2023 instead of 198 now. We could say that in 5 years, it might be $400 million. And so if that's true, that would be twice as big as it is today. And therefore, today's $35 million quarterback would make 70 in 5 years, which seems absurd until we remind ourselves that Roger Staubach's highest salary in Dallas during his illustrious career here, and Roger Staubach, maybe the greatest Cowboy ever, maybe the greatest quarterback ever, maybe the greatest human ever, his highest salary in a single season was $160,000. You can't get Dak Prescott to take a sip of Pepsi on camera for $160,000.
Mike Fisher is here with us. If Jerry calls up Dak tomorrow and says $140 million over 4 years, 110 guaranteed, does Dak sign that tomorrow?
Well, let's do the math. What's 140 divided by 4?
35.
35, 35, 35, and 35. I think now we're getting there, I believe. I think Dak's threshold over the course of the season, that, you know, the idea of, hey, a star quarterback, I think it was 30. Here's what stands in the way, though, of your enthusiasm for this and mine, too. If your contract was up, maybe it is. I don't mean to pry into your business.
I still got another year. I signed a new deal in January, so we're good.
Okay. The guy in the next, and you know, let's say that you know that CBS wants you, but the guy in the next cubicle, his contract's also coming up. Why don't you wait till after he does his? When you know that you'll be able to say, well, now I know I can get a dollar more than that. And this is the game that it's not just quarterbacks, they all play. I mean, Deshaun Watson's coming, and then Patrick Mahomes is coming, and then so they're all waiting on each other. Wide receivers, this happened with in the last couple of years with Mike Evans and Deshaun Watson and Julio Jones. So they're all waiting for the other guy to be the first shoe. And that's one of the reasons, frankly. I don't think the Cowboys want to wait. I don't think they want to see Deshaun Watson get 40, then have Dak come back and say to them, you know, I guess 40 is the way it goes now. Because as much, and listen, we all know this sounds ridiculous, and we all agree, why aren't we paying nurses, firemen, and teachers? We all agree on that. I get that. There's no doubt about it. But we all need gas and milk and bread. And NFL teams need quarterbacks. So we pay what we pay.
When you hear the Chris Sims report that was in the conversation, it was on 105.3 The Fan, that north of $45 million for that fifth year, everyone has shot it down. Is there any part of that that was somewhat truthful, or was it just lost in translation for Chris?
Yeah, and I don't know Chris personally. I think that I feel fortunate that when we wrote about what he said on our radio station, I wrote that it was a rumor. Because I think the public, and not its own fault, the public gets confused about rumors versus a report. It would not be accurate to report that he asked for $45 million for a fifth year in any form. But yet, in that moment, I went chasing down the Chris Sims rabbit hole. I was doing the math, and I was calling cap guys, and I was saying, how do you fold it in? And it was all nonsense. Dak Prescott has not countered with a five-year deal. He has only countered with a four-year deal. The joke around here is, because we love to hate Mike Florio, is that Chris Sims is simply learning at the feet of the master. but at least, to be kind, at least, he threw it out there as a rumor, and the rumor's wrong.
Mike Fisher here with us on the show. The other part, when we talk about this waiting game, and for Dak, you would think he would want to get a deal done by July 15th, because I would want that assurance long term, and that's the deadline. I'm just wondering, like, once again, what else is he looking? This is the maddening part to me, Mike. And I get the timing right now, but $175 million over 5 years. And I know to me that's like, oh, my God, goodness gracious money. The guy's a good quarterback. He's not a great quarterback. To him, he probably thinks he's great and he's going to be top five in a few years. But that is a deal that it's more than fair. Like, I would sign that in 2 seconds, right?
Okay, but then using that same logic, and I'm not trying to take a side here, why doesn't Deshaun Watson run into the Texans and say, I want that deal that Dak's getting up there? Why don't they all do it?
Well, Deshaun Watson, he has what, another additional year on the contract, I think?
He's eligible, though, for a
sure.
new deal. So, this goes back to teachers, nurses, firemen. Why doesn't Jamal Adams in New York just take his $3.5 million and his $9.9 million and just be happy with – well, because he's eligible for more. And so it really is, to me, it's very similar. People are getting mad at Jamal Adams, and they're certainly mad at Dak Prescott. I mean, these are two lightning rod stories, and not just in Dallas. They're lightning rod sports stories across the country. But Jamal Adams' argument back to his critics would be, if the NFL owners didn't think it was okay to ask for a raise when you're eligible after 3 years, then why did they put that rule in the CBA? So I am eligible. I'm the best safety in football, and I want my raise. I think the league is lucky that it doesn't have more guys saying, you know what, wait a minute. I'm, in a literal sense, risking my life to play football. And you guys won't even give us guaranteed money? Really guaranteed money. The NBA has the average NBA salary is $7 million fully guaranteed. The average NFL salary is $1 million not guaranteed. So when you look at it that way, Zach, can you agree with me that maybe the NFL needs to complain more? Maybe the union needs to get a little bit more muscle. Maybe players need to not look at Kirk Cousins like, boy, that's an anomaly. That's the only guy with real guaranteed contract. Maybe they should all have guaranteed contracts like they do in the NBA.
And we'll see if they could ever get on the same page with that. It's tough to get everyone in the NFL on the same page, though, with players when it comes to this stuff, as we've seen through time. Mike Fisher, let me ask you this, though. By July 15th, since Dak is on the franchise tag, do you anticipate that we will have a long-term contract extension with Dak and the Cowboys?
Yeah, my problem with the theory that, hey, just tag him and tag him, that's $69 million for 2 years. So that's $34.5 million a year anyway. So then I'm going to lose him. So I think the Cowboys will eventually, we can call it cave or we can call it bend, but I think the Cowboys will eventually bend to the four-year deal that Dak Prescott desires in terms of the years. I think they're in range on the money. I really do. And then we'll look back and realize, you know, one of the reasons that we always say Jerry always gets his man if he wants him is because so often Jerry bends. He bent on Dak Prescott. I'm sorry, on Dez Bryant, bent on Tank Lawrence,
Zeke,
bent on Ezekiel Elliott. And then years ago in 1993, the Cowboys started 0-2 after trying to defend their Super Bowl. And he caved on Emmitt Smith. And it can work out. There is no magic formula about what percentage you're supposed to pay a quarterback. That's baloney, and cap managers know it. You know, let's get good players in here. And Dak Prescott's a good player.
And the Cowboys, they don't have an alternative right now, and you're not going to move on from Dak Prescott with what he's done so far early in his career. And there's still a lot of room to grow. If let me ask you this, though, Mike. If we weren't going through this pandemic right now and we were getting set with, you know, like we had all OTAs and training camp and all that, would Dak Prescott have got this deal done? Probably, and I'm just going to assume here that Mahomes and Watson maybe don't get a deal done in the next few months. Who knows? But would you think maybe if you were allowed to be in the building and all that stuff was going on, that this deal would have already been done then, if there was practice?
I think it would be very hard and will be very hard for Dak Prescott to stay away from his guys. And I know that he and his agent have committed to the idea. And once you commit, I guess you should do that. But I know a lot of people thought, well, he's going to, first of all, they're calling it a holdout, and he's not a holdout. Because to hold out, it means you have to have a contract, which he does not have. So he's withholding his services is a juster way, a more just way of saying it. But I knew that he wasn't going to sit on the couch and eat bonbons and not even open up his playbook and not answer the phone. He's in communication with coaches, in communication with teammates. He's certainly in his playbook. And then this morning, he went and worked out with none other than Ezekiel Elliott and Dez Bryant. So he's trying to get things done as much as he can. But, yeah, I do think there'd be a positive pressure on both sides if they were all actually in the building together. Again, though, Jerry Jones had me in his office in 1990 and let me eavesdrop on a speakerphone while he was contract negotiation with Isaac Holt, the old Cowboy cornerback. And I listened to the whole thing. It was amazing. And they're pretty much done. And then Jerry hangs up the phone. And I said, Jerry, why? It seems to me like the deal's done. Why didn't you just go ahead and do the deal? And he goes, Mr. Mack, this was in May. Mr. Mack, deadlines make deals. And it was the first time I think anybody ever heard him say it. It's become part of the Cowboy vernacular and maybe even part of sports vernacular. July 15th, deadlines make deals.
The drama, though, and we know Jerry never shies away from drama. Maybe it's a little bit different this time around. With how last year played out, would there ever be a thought to change that approach and just do what it takes to get the deal done now so this distraction goes away? Because it is a distraction right now. I guess you could say that with how much it's being talked about. But then once again, Jerry doesn't care how much it's being talked about. He probably enjoys it.
Yeah, is it a distraction to the quarterback coach or the defensive line coach or the safeties? See, we think it's a distraction to us. I think you and I think I wake up in the morning thinking more about this than Xavier Woods thinks about it. And he's his teammate. It seems like he should care more, but, you know, he I think they understand we're just going to do our business and go about our business. But we're the ones that are making it dramatic. We could just sit back and say, listen, wake me up on July 15th. But we have shows to do. Damn good shows, I might add, and the drama is real, and we're the ones, we're not riding in the roller coaster here. We're driving the roller coaster.
With Mike McCarthy as the head football coach, how much better do you think the Cowboys are this year, Mike?
Well, I'm not one of those. I'm not a Jason Garrett sucks guy. First of all, I don't think that's very good analysis. I don't think that's very deep analysis. Just to say that Jason Garrett sucks. I've been friendly with him for 25 years, so I have a great deal of respect for him as a person. I just think the program ran out of gas.
I agree with that. And do you think the team quit on him? Because those two games against the Bills and the Bears where they allowed 26-24 unanswered points after getting that opening drive touchdown, that looked to me like a team that quit on their coach.
One of his great trademarks here is that teams habitually did not do that. But the one that jumped out at me was the game against Philadelphia was a playoff game.
Yeah.
Week 16, that's a pre-playoff game. And you didn't show up. And I mean even the coaching staff didn't show up for that one. So that was troubling, but that was an outlier when it came to Jason Garrett's time here. I just think more than that, I think the enthusiasm ran out after a decade. The ideas run out. They're not fresh anymore. And that can happen to anybody. So I think the Cowboys will be better because they changed, at the very least, from one competent coach to another competent coach. I think that would make them better. If Mike McCarthy is more than that, and his McCarthy project with NFL Network and Peter King and all that, boy, that was almost as crafty, almost as well-crafted by the star of it as The Last Dance. I mean, Michael... So you mean to tell me that Michael Jordan is against womanizing? Really? Because that's what The Last Dance taught us, and it's ridiculous. And so the Mike McCarthy Project taught us that Mike McCarthy believes in analytics now. Really? After 55 years of not believing it, he figured it out in 5 weeks. So they painted a marvelous picture of Mike McCarthy. Our interactions with him so far have been great as well. But a good Mike McCarthy can make the Cowboys better. Because change is sometimes, for the sake of change, good.
Two more for Mike Fisher at Fish Sports on Twitter. Amari Cooper in that Eagles game, was that a benching? Why wasn't he on the field late in that game?
I really need to sit down. I could almost do an oral history of that down. That's how many people I've talked to about the whys and what fors. He was running out of gas. He had just run a deep route. So he was a little running out of gas. Cowboys think they had a play that could work without him. And in fact, was it Tavon Austin that got deep and open? So, you know, it almost turned out okay. Although personnel-wise, you know, I'm not lining up Jason Witten wide like he's a wide receiver when I have Amari Cooper on my team. But, you know, the biggest screw-up on it, besides the fact that Amari Cooper is not the kind of guy to stand up and say, whoa, 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 wait a minute, you're doing what to me? He's just not built that way. They had timeouts in their pocket. So if you weren't sure of your play or you wanted Amari Cooper on the field, which you need to, but he was
call
tired, Jason Garrett, call a timeout. In fact, and then if he's still tired, call another timeout. And that was the big screw up. And again, that goes all the way to the top, and it contributed to the ouster of Jason Garrett.
I saw your tweet, I think it was last week or maybe early this week, about the NBA's return and how it could be they come back and play 4 or 5 regular season games before going to the postseason. What are you hearing after that since you put that tweet out there?
Yeah, the magic number, and you can get this at
TV.
Our Mavericks Sports Illustrated site is DallasBasketball.com. What they talked about, and I was told there was going to be a Thursday conference call for general managers. I haven't confirmed that happened. Is 70 games as a magic number. I'm like, I couldn't figure out why for a minute until I started hearing that many of the NBA teams have local TV contracts in which they get to cash in if there's 70 games, but they don't get to cash in if there's 69. And voila, there's your reason why some NBA owners want 70 games.
And you think the sport will definitely come back?
I do not have an opinion on that. It's, you know what? I don't have an opinion on that for the same reason I don't have an opinion on whether or not you wear a mask anymore, because I'm afraid somebody from one side of the political aisle or the other is going to firebomb my house. So you have no idea what I think of masks, and you'll never know.
You got it, Mike. I never thought we'd be talking about that in 2020. Thanks for coming on. And keep on posting those YouTube videos when you get annoyed with people and their lack of math skills, because I'm not great at math, but I can even do the math on that one.
I'd appreciate it.
You got it. There's Mike Fisher. We'll break here. We'll come on back. We'll talk a little Tua. We'll talk a little Justin Herbert when they could see the field next.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show. The Zach Gelb Show is on the air across the nation on CBS Sports Radio. Here's Zach Gelb.
It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. So here's what I learned from that conversation with Mike Fisher. Very good insider for the Cowboys. That by July 15th, I expect the deal to get done. And it will most likely be a 4-year deal. Personally, and I'm thinking this from the talk show side of it, not the player side, because if I'm a player, I'm probably thinking, all right, now maybe I'm thinking. I don't know if I would definitely say this, but you want to get to the next contract as quick as possible? If an honest person could get inside the ear of Dak Prescott, and then maybe they wouldn't be on his team, I would advise him to take the 5-175, because he's good, and he'll still get another contract. But what happens if he doesn't meet expectations in Dallas over those 4 years? If you don't meet those expectations, and we don't know what the market will be, and maybe you get something similar on a 2-3-year deal the next go-around, saying if it goes really down the drain, and maybe the floor is $35 million. So maybe you don't lose anything. But I look at it right now, if I'm getting $35 million for the next 5 years, 35, 35, 35, 35, and 35. I'm taking that in a second. Because there is an unknown to Dak Prescott if he could take that step from being good to great. I think the 175 over 5 is a very fair offer. And I would do it. Where Mike is right, though, is where he could say, well, he could just wait till July 15th. Jerry said the deal's going to get done. Maybe you see if Mahomes and Watson get their deals done. Does that drive up the price for Dak? I personally think Mahomes is by far and away a better player than Dak, and Watson is a better player than Dak. Just because you are the better player, though, doesn't mean you get the better deal. So we'll sit here, and it'll be May 22nd right now, and we'll wait till June goes by and July goes by. And then Wednesday, July 15th, somewhere on the week before that or the week after that, a deal will get done. And if Dak is so set on 4 years instead of five, then it'll be a four-year deal. And the Cowboys, it's not that the Cowboys don't believe in him. They're offering a five-year, $175 million contract. So if Dak ends up meeting those expectations, then the Cowboys will have to give him another 4 or 5 year deal after that, and the market will go up. I don't think there's much to gain here, though, from Dak in waiting. But just as long as he gets the deal signed, there's really not that much to lose, probably when you're looking back at it. So that's why you have the silence right now, or not the accepting of the contract right away by Dak Prescott after further hearing and then reviewing that conversation. Let me get to two young quarterbacks in this league who have never taken a snap in the National Football League, but did go back-to-back picks in the draft at 5 and 6, Tua Tagovailoa and then Justin Herbert. The Herbert situation, I think we'll see him on the field this year. Anthony Lynn, when he joined us, said a lot of nice things about Tyrod Taylor. Tyrod Taylor probably going to start the season week one. Now, you don't have a passionate fan base in L.A. like what the Browns did, where, and I know there was an injury there with Tyrod Taylor, but Browns fans were going to be calling for Baker Mayfield. Market like L.A., Chargers don't really have an identity, and most of those games are road games. You know, their home games are road games, basically. You could get away with delaying your young franchise quarterback, but when you take someone 6th overall, you expect them to see the field now in year number one. So the Bengals schedule, or the Chargers schedule, week one Bengals, then the Chiefs, Carolina, the Bucks, the Saints. If they don't get off to a desirable start, could you maybe see Herbert week 6 up against the Jets? Because then you're going to run the Jets, the Dolphins, and the Jaguars, and the Raiders. Neither of those four teams are great. So if I see the, maybe the earliest that you see Herbert on the field, because you want to put your young quarterback in a good spot if there's an alternative there. Like, for example, the Bengals, they're going to start Joe Burrow week one. For the Chargers, though, you don't need to start him week one. I don't mind if you do. If he beats out Taylor in camp, then you do. But is there even going to be a camp? And how long is that camp going to be? If it's not pretty, though, after the 5th week when you go up against the Saints, you could get him in for the Jets, Dolphins, and Jaguars or Raiders in any 4 of those games. Then you got a bye in week 10. Off the bye, you play the Broncos and the Bills. Then you got the Pats, the Falcons, and then the final 3 weeks of the season, the Raiders, the Broncos, and the Chiefs. So after that bye week, you could start him up against Denver. I think you see him at some point. It would not surprise me if you see Herbert into that lineup in one of those 4 games in the Jets, the Dolphins, the Jaguars, or the Raiders. Now, for the Dolphins schedule, you're probably going to see Fitzpatrick maybe, I don't know, for the entire season. It would not be the worst thing with Tua's injury pass, though, the last 2 years with the ankle and then the hip, to maybe give him a redshirt year. If I look at the Dolphins schedule, it's as follows: Patriots, Bills, Jaguars, Seattle, San Francisco. That stretch, unless there's an injury, I expect Fitzpatrick to be the quarterback. Broncos, Chargers, Rams. If you want to get him some time, maybe you slip him in against the Cardinals and the Jets, then you have a bye, then the Jets again. You could, if Fitzpatrick plays poorly against the Jets on November 15th, you could get him ready off that bye and then have him against the Jets on the 29th. Because then you get the Jets and the Bengals. If you're trying to get Tua in, that first opportunity probably, if you look at it, either that first Jet game or off the bye into the second Jet game, because then you get the Jets and the Bengals before you get a tough opponent with the Chiefs. I would love to see Tua and Mahomes. And then the rest of the schedule, the Patriots at Las Vegas and then at Buffalo. If you want to wait until those final 2 weeks, do you do that to get him a little experience? You wait to the – you're probably not going to debut him if you wait to the last quarter of the season up against the Chiefs, and then his first game would then maybe be the Patriots. Who knows what the Patriots are going to be like? Those are two storylines I look for, though. And I don't get talked about enough. When will Tua see the field this year, if at all, if he sees the field? And then for Herbert, when do you put him into the game plan? And when do you put him into game action? 34 past the hour. This is Zach Gilp Show on CBS Sports Radio. We will break here. When we come on back, we'll update you on all the biggest stories in the world of sports with a segment we call The News Brief.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show. The Zach Gelb Show is on the air across the nation on CBS Sports Radio.
Blake Snell should really just shut up. I usually don't say that with athletes. I usually want athletes to give their opinion. But in this case, he should shut up. I don't want to hear about a fight between millionaires and billionaires. Shut up!
Here's Zach Gelb.
And CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 855-212-4227. It's sponsored by Geico. Geico's introduced the Geico Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers that last your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for info and eligibility. We will update you now on the biggest stories in the world of sports, a segment that we like to call The News Brief.
Time for your daily news brief. We get you caught up on the rumors, reports, and reconnaissance from the day in sports.
We start off with a somber news today and some somber news, and that is the passing of an NBA legend in Jerry Sloan. The former Chicago Bulls player was a two-time NBA All-Star, a four-time All-Defensive First Team member, has his number retired by the Chicago Bulls. And then also has a banner in Utah for his career wins, as he was the head coach of the Utah Jazz from 1988 to 2011. And he has 1,221 career wins as a head coach. That is fourth all time. In front of him, Greg Popovich, Lenny Wilkins, and then Don Nelson. Jerry Sloan did pass away at the age of 78 after a battle with Parkinson's. And earlier today, we did hear some audio from some of his former players. Let's start things off with John Stockton, this courtesy of KSL TV, as John Stockton does recall Jerry Sloan's intensity as a coach.
He was really getting on me in my career to be more of a leader, be more assertive, be more vocal on the court. And so the next game, I had an opportunity. The game wasn't going our way, and so I stepped up and called the timeout for our team so it wouldn't get away from us. And when I got to the bench, I was greeted rather rudely by Coach Sloan, who thought he was the only one that should call a timeout, and really kind of deflated my bubble a little bit. I thought I was doing what I was supposed to be doing. He said, no, do you want to coach this team? Which means, do you want to fight to get, be the coach of this team? Yeah. And so I declined.
You know how many great moments Jerry Sloan has as a head basketball coach. And you look back at the Utah Jazz teams, and obviously it's been documented now and brought back up from The Last Dance with 97 and 98 and how close they were, especially in 98 in that game six where Stockton hits that three and puts them up by three before Jordan then gets the two and then the steal with Malone. Malone and then the Jordan game winner. That team got so close. And a lot of times when a team has won a championship, we almost forget about them. A lot of great teams that have got to the finals, and you will remember them. Those Jazz teams are obviously some of them. And Jerry Sloan, one of the great coaches of all time. And you see all the wins that he was able to have as the head coach of the Utah Jazz. All right. Let me hear more about Jerry Sloan. This was Carl Malone on Jerry Sloan once trying to fight him. This also courtesy of KSL TV.
He told me, did I want to fight him? And he said that to me. Stopped practicing, came in there and said, I'll fight you. Fight you as long as I can see you, but I'm keeping it clean.
Yeah, yeah.
As young and dumb as I was at the time, I didn't want to try him because he would have tried me.
What a story. I try to think of that today. Imagine a coach getting into it with a player like that. If it did get into that point, I don't know how much that would fly today, but Hey, once a legend, always a legend with Jerry Sloan. And may he rest in peace. Rajah Bell also did play for Jerry Sloan. This is Rajah Bell via CBS Sports HQ on the Jazz retaining Jerry Sloan's identity.
I really do believe that Jerry is part of the DNA of what we still think of Utah Jazz teams to be, which are hard-nosed, tough teams, won't give an inch, will scrap for anything they can get their hands on. And I think Jazz teams, at least for the foreseeable future, will play like that.
Let's hear one more from Rajah Bell. This is on how Jerry Sloan implemented a certain toughness to his teams that, yes, John Stockton and Karl Malone did talk about, and so did Rajah Bell, also courtesy of CBS Sports HQ.
He had this no, take no prisoners attitude, give no layups away, fight for everything and every inch on the court, and I really respected that.
Now moving on to the NFL, once again we do send our condolences to the Sloan family. Aaron Donald on no fans in the stands and that possibility.
You need fans to play a game. I don't see how you could play a game without no fans. I feel like that take out the excitement and the fun out the game, kind of. You know, you make a big play, it's just you make a big play. You know, I feel like the fans is what pick you up. The fans will make the game exciting. The fans will give you that extra juice when you're tired and fatigued. You know, when you make that big play, you hear 80,000 fans going crazy. That just pump you up.
So there's a difference between needs and wants, and we're all learning that right now in the society with what we're going through. We all want fans. We would all love for there to be fans. If it's not deemed safe, though, and they say, okay, football can return without fans, you don't need fans to go on. It'd be odd, especially you wonder then what happens to home field advantage. I would much rather, though, have football in the fall without fans than not have football because they're not going to let fans in the stands. That's just me, though. Let's hear Andy Reid with all this talk about the onside kick and how you could now possibly, with one of the rules that are on the table, just get twice a game, a 4th and 15 from your own 25, and if you convert it, then you get to keep the ball instead of the onside kick, because the onside kick is really, I don't want to say it is a play that you can't recover anymore, but with the rule changes, it has been tougher. Andy Reid did discuss that earlier today.
I know the special teams coaches aren't real big on that. You know, it takes away obviously one of the elements of theirs, and then it's also the kickoff, which has been under scrutiny here, and kickoff returns. So, you know, to keep the integrity of the game, you like that part of it.
Stu, here's a good question. I want to get your thoughts on this.
Okay.
If the Kansas City Chiefs, let's say, had the option, one or the other, 4th and 15 with Patrick Mahomes as your quarterback, and this is just for the Chiefs, or the onside kick, which one do you think the Chiefs would rather do in a game?
You've got to trust Mahomes. You've got to trust Mahomes more than a kicker. The onside kick is so random, but I feel like getting 15 yards on a play is something Mahomes and the Chiefs offense can pretty easily do.
Especially with no more having that running start, the even sides of it as well. And oh yeah, in the Super Bowl, Stu, 3rd and 15, he found a way to get it done and make that throw to Tyreek Hill. I would imagine I would take Mahomes as well. But I wonder how, here's my question to follow up on that. I wonder how many teams feel that way. How many teams trust their quarterback on 4th and 15 compared to just kicking the ball up and hoping that you get it?
I'd say probably 5 to 7 maybe at the most. I think maybe 5 would be a good number, I would believe.
Okay, let me just go through this real quickly. Jimmy G, 4th and 15. Probably not after the Super Bowl. I'm not saying that he can't be that one day, but with no doubt about it. Russell Wilson you would trust. Goff, no. Murray, too early to tell. Rodgers, yes. Kirk Cousins, I'm not trusting him there in that spot. Trubisky, no. Stafford, no. Not that they aren't good quarterbacks, but just no doubt about they're going to convert. How about Carson Wentz? No doubt in your mind he's converting?
I wouldn't say no doubt. I'd probably trust him, but I wouldn't say no doubt.
Okay. Dak Prescott?
Probably not.
But you agree so far, Wilson and Packers with Rodgers, the two no doubt.
Those are the two so far, yeah.
Jones too early, Haskins too early, Drew Brees?
Yes.
Matt Ryan?
Probably not.
Tom Brady?
Yes.
Teddy Bridgewater, we haven't seen him play a full 16 games in a while. Lamar Jackson?
See, he's more of a... I'd say yes, but that's close.
Okay. I would trust Lamar there, so I would give a fifth one. Big Ben?
Not right now, no.
Baker Mayfield?
No.
Joe Burrow, too early to tell. Mahomes, yes. Drew Lock, too early to tell. Raiders, no. Chargers, no. Stidham, no. Josh Allen, no. Darnold, no. Dolphins, too early to tell. How about Deshaun Watson?
Yes, Watson, yes.
Yes. Ryan Tannehill, no. Phillip Rivers?
No.
Yeah, not after what we saw this past year. And then Minshew Mania, no as well. So, yeah. Without a doubt, Watson, Mahomes, I go Lamar Jackson. I just think he makes a play. Drew Brees, Tom Brady. I would go Carson Wentz personally, Aaron Rodgers, and then Russell Wilson. Let me hear from Andy Reid, though, on having the perfect weapon if he has to go for it, though, on 4th and 15.
If it does pass, then we've got a guy that can do 4th and 15s. I mean, he would give us an opportunity to be able to do that.
And then let me hear from Matt Kenseth from NASCAR on the weird feeling of no fans in the stands. This courtesy of our very own The Damon Amendola Show, the DA Show, right here on CBS Sports Radio, 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern, Monday through Friday.
It was different. I mean, when you showed up, to me, it felt like you showed up at a test. You know, there wasn't really anybody there but the teams, obviously, and the haulers, and it was kind of quiet. So that felt kind of strange that you're actually racing like that.
That's always going to be a thing now whenever the sports come back. It's going to be, how do the athletes look? And then how about the environment and how different it is? And then we'll be asking athletes about it after the game as well. We'll replay a conversation that we had with Chase Briscoe earlier in the show. We'll do that at 9:20 p.m. Eastern, 6:20 p.m. Pacific. You don't want to miss that if you missed it earlier when we had him on the show at 6:20 p.m. When we come on back, though, five burning questions of the world of sports. We call it onsides, offsides. We'll play that next right here on the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on a Friday. One more hour to play on CBS Sports Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.